Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today we're going to talk about how to enter the U.S. market with your startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
So we know that we have a lot of listeners that don't live in the U.S., that don't run a startup that is based in the U.S., and I get this question fairly often. I'm not exactly sure about you, and I'd be interested to hear that, but I know that I get the question, hey, we're starting out in Europe, we have some customers there, how do we enter the U.S. market, or we want to enter the U.S. market, what's the best way for us to do that? Do we really have to move kind of the corporation and our entire team over to the U.S., or are there other ways to go about it? So I thought it'd be a valuable and useful episode for people to hear us talk about. First off, Heaton, I'm assuming you hear this question often, but I'm not sure. Do you hear this? Do you have a lot of people approach you about that?
I actually do, yeah.
Interesting. Very cool. So what, you know, we might just go back and forth and share some tips and some ideas around this from our perspective. Let me start and say that I do not believe that you don't necessarily have to move your life, your team, and your corporation over to the U.S. in order to enter the U.S. market. That's not necessarily the only way to do it. It is a way to do it, probably the most committed way to do it, but also the most risky and expensive way to do it. But that's not the only way. And there's many companies in Europe, you know, in Asia, in India, and everywhere really around the world. I can pick an example from almost every country around the world, or many countries around the world, that have started building a brand in the U.S., although they're not U.S.-based, and that have U.S. customers, although they're not U.S.-based, and that have gotten press in the U.S., although they're not U.S.-based. So it's absolutely possible for you to start wherever you are and focus on doing your marketing, doing your PR, doing your outreach to a U.S. consumer and build a brand there and build an audience and a customer base.
Yeah, you know, one of the first things I think people don't realize is the cost. So I'm just going to start there and say, look, it costs a lot more money to be in the U.S. than most other countries out there. That's what I've learned, because when I talk to an entrepreneur, they come to me and they're like, we want to move here. I'm like, okay. The ones that have done their homework are like, I know it's going to cost more money. I've done the math. Here's what that means to my business. I'm like, okay. And then it becomes a very simple economic kind of problem, right? Meaning, okay, it's going to cost you more money. Are you going to make more money as a result of it? And how are you going to do that? And how can you do that? How can you even, I mean, you could come to this country, you can do business in this country in the U.S. without actually having to live here.
Yep.
You can come and visit customers. You can do like a roadshow, as they call it. You can do all of those things. So the founders that I've met that are very savvy about this, they come visit here and they prove that they can make money here and that being here matters. And then they either decide, oh, I can do it without being here and make money in the U.S. and have U.S. customers, or I can't make money. I'm going to stay where I am, or I'm going to move here because I made enough money, or I see the potential, or I can do the math. So like, you know, so many of them want to move their whole team out here and do all these things. And it's like, it's going to cost a lot more money. I don't care what region of America you stay in, or even overall what country you come from. It's typically 90% of the time costs more money here.
It doesn't just cost more money. It's going to be a massive distraction, right? And you have to really ask yourself, is this the right time to do it? You're going to have to deal with visas. You're going to have to deal with trying to find an apartment. You're going to have to deal with like basic shit like healthcare and where do I go grocery shopping and how do we get an office and how do we get like, you know, internet for that office. You're going to like moving, you know, any move you make, anybody that has listened to this has moved apartments or houses before. A move is kind of a distraction, inconvenience. You have to deal with a lot of bullshit and it slows down a lot of other things in your regular life. When you move a different country with an entire team and a corporate structure, it's going to be a massive distraction. You really have to ask yourself, is it worth it? And in many cases, I find that people are just like daydreaming and romanticizing that idea, like as this like moonshot, the, you know why we're not succeeding? Because we're not in America. A lot of people have also this like complex of thinking, oh, customers and businesses in whatever, insert small country I live in, They just don't get it. And the press here doesn't get it. And the investors here don't get it. And the only way for us to get successful and big is to go to the US and do it there. And they have this like romantic moonshot. If I just go over there, my problems will be solved. I hate to break it to you. I've done the same thing. I moved to the US, right? For many, many reasons. And I hate to break it to you, but your problems are not going to be solved. You're just going to have a different set of problems, right? You're going to replace some of your problems with new problems. And you might get rid of some of your old problems, but it's not like moving to the US is the answer to all your problems and magically you're going to be successful all of a sudden. So don't think of it that way. And then one great example I throw out there, I just thought about those guys because I'm always kind of mind blown about them. I mean, honestly, I love Greece. I am from Greece, but Greece is really not economically or in any other way a great country to start a tech startup, right? Or any other business. It's a country in crisis. It's a tiny, tiny country with a tiny, tiny economy with so many political issues, no money, no angel funding, no tech expertise. All the problems in the world, you know, are all accumulated in this small but beautiful country that I love. And there is a recent example, Workable, that's an HR solution, a SaaS HR solution that is killing it globally and that has eventually raised money, you know, from top investors in the US and that has a big brand, a big customer base in the US and probably is, you know, in the 2-digit million ARR phase and hyper growth. And they're based in Greece. So if you could go to Greece to build like a killer SaaS app that's growing and it's on its way to become a really big killer SaaS business, then you can do it almost everywhere around the world, right? So there's always going to be problems. But if you can't get local traction, if you cannot get local businesses or consumers to sign up for your service and get rolling, I'm not really – the chances are very high that the U.S. customers are not going to jump on it and love it from the get-go. I think we established that you don't necessarily have to move. You brought up a strategy that I talk often about, Heaton, which is you can visit, right? Nothing stops you from visiting, even visiting.
That's right.
Visiting frequently. Listen, if you live in San Francisco, I'm not going to see you more than twice a year anyways. So if you visit twice a year in San Francisco and want to meet up, or if you live next door and I see you twice a year, one way or another, like you can actually build a pretty strong local network and get to know investors and other founders and potential future customers and hires by frequently visiting. If you visit 3 or 4 times a year, you're going to be able to accomplish a lot. And some people might not even realize you don't live there, right? Because people don't meet each other every single day just because they live there. So visiting is a brilliant way to get started. It's much easier, much cheaper. You can do it immediately and you can start learning. Maybe you find out that people really don't care about what you do in the US. Maybe you find that it's difficult even to find somebody to give you feedback. Maybe you see that it's super easy and you start getting customers and you start getting traction and eventually you just maybe open an office, right? You find one or two people that you've been meeting with for a few months or for the last year visiting in the US. And eventually you convince one of these people to become your first employee in the US and open an office for you and be the point person to your customers. So that's one way of doing it. And then the other way, just in the early days, I would say, is start experimenting with marketing. It's so easy for you to target US-based customers. Doesn't matter if it's for paid ads. Doesn't matter if you write content on certain platforms that are predominantly visited by US traffic. Doesn't matter if you reach out to US-based outlets and try to get press or coverage there or find blogs that have a large following that's based in the US and you try to do guest blogging there or some partnership. Just try to find ways virtually and through the web to market to US customers and see how well does that work. And you don't have to be in the US to market to a US consumer or customer. You can do that from anywhere in the world. And if you don't get any success doing online marketing to US customers, being based out of wherever, you know, Lithuania or Ireland or Greece, if you can't do that from there, it's not going to make any difference if your office is in San Francisco. You're still going to have to do the same kind of online marketing. If you don't succeed reaching that customer, then that's your problem that you need to solve and not your physical location or your mailbox or, you know, where your desk is located on the planet. So you can visit regularly. You can start marketing, doing online marketing to that audience. And you can do both these things without having to move all the entire company and organization structure to the US to get started with.
Yeah, totally agree. We've seen it done, you know? So I think this is pretty straightforward where, you know, if you're in another country, it's totally possible to do business here, to do business with U.S. customers, one, without ever setting foot here, two, without having to move here. I think there's a lot of other kind of myths that, you know, things get easier because you're here. They don't get easier right away because you're here. They definitely could get easier over time. Mm. But the one thing that gets harder is running your business, especially if your whole company isn't here, you know, and that's something that a lot of founders don't necessarily think about. They just feel like it's really different and special here in America, in the Bay Area, wherever they're thinking of moving. Usually it's Bay Area or New York is what I hear most commonly. But at the end of the day, like that's not necessarily true, especially if you're building software and, you know, customer visits aren't something you need to do on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Now, let's point out a few kind of frequently asked questions I get about this. One is the question of language, right? So some people worry, you know, I'm not a native English speaker. Do I have to hire US-based people to write my emails, to talk to my customers, to give support if I want to enter the US market? Or can I do it with my English that a native speaker might pick up on that I'm not based in the US? How do I deal with giving demos when people can hear that, you know, I'm not a native English speaker, or even can see that I am in a totally different time zone and I'm doing these demos at 3 a.m. in the morning or something? Will that come across as unprofessional or as desperate, or will that turn off customers? How do you think about accents and speaking native English when it comes to, like, you know, acquiring US-based customers?
You already have an accent. Are you going to be able to change that?
Most people
won't.
Right.
So you have an accent, own it. You know, learn how to at least, you know, make sure you can be understood by US customers in case you feel like you can't. I don't think that's going to be super difficult in case you're really nervous about it or something like that. At the end of the day, though, your accent's your accent. And you just need to learn to communicate or have someone on your team that you feel like could be better at doing it. That being said, like, I think this is a topic where the person who has the accent tends to be more worried than the person that's trying to buy something.
Mm.
And it's a shame, right? Because yeah. If your accent is hurting your confidence, then, like, you have to work on your confidence, not just your accent, right? And the people I know that have an accent, there's almost stages, right? One stage is like, they're just really hesitant to talk to anybody. In like English, let's say, if it's a, you know, them to English, but yet they know English, they know the words. I mean, that's not an issue. And then the next phase is kind of like they apologize for their accent on calls, you know, and then the next phase is just, they don't think about it. They don't worry about it. And they just learn how to be clear and speak to be understood. Regardless of accent, we're all trying to speak to be understood. So to me, it's like practice. You know, is the best tip I have there, and work on confidence, not just accent. Like, I don't think accents are easy to change, especially when you grew up with, you know, that accent all around you. And over time, you can definitely get closer and closer to being able to be understood much more easily, but practice is all you can do. So it's almost like if you're stopping yourself from practicing, that's not the best thing. But the one caveat I'll give is, like, if you feel like you don't want to talk to people, then don't talk to people. Find someone on your team that will, or hire somebody that can, right? I'm not saying that's the best option. I don't think it is, but it's like, don't drive yourself crazy over it. I've seen founders, like, you know, pretty like bent out of shape over this one.
Wow. I would add just 2 cents to this, which is, you know, it might make more or less of a difference having a strong accent depending on who your customer is. And oftentimes it might be a good idea to just, if you look to reach out to the US and you look at the coasts first, right? East Coast, West Coast, I find that it matters a lot less, you know, in New York or in San Francisco if you have an accent, because lots of fucking people have accents that live there, right? And people kind of have gotten more immune to it, paying more attention to what you say than if you have an accent or not, if you are somebody that is not born and raised in the US. If you sell more to a more conservative audience, maybe more to Middle America, it might matter more, especially also where your accent is from, right? Let's not kid ourselves. You have a French accent. I don't know why, but almost everywhere around the world, you'll be sounding a little sexy and charming. And there's then other accents that don't sound as charming and sexy to most American ears, right, or Western ears. So you just have to deal with reality and know, okay, if I'm reaching out to a San Francisco audience, it really doesn't matter, right? Like, there's so many people that live there that have a very strong accent that are VCs and successful founders of billion-dollar companies and professors and like, people are very used to and very casual about it. So and I know that that's not true in many other countries in general. So it's maybe also something where, because you know how strongly people judge somebody with an accent in your country, you assume the same thing to be true in the US. And it's not, especially not on the coasts. That's at least my experience. And then when it comes to writing, so speaking, I completely agree and subscribe to everything that you said, Heaton. When it comes to writing, it might not be a bad idea to have, if you have a friend in the US, to have them look over some important copy that you have and give you some feedback on it, or, you know, even find a freelancer and pay some money, not to make every Oxford comma be perfect or something like that, but just to make sure that you don't have sentences there that are difficult to read because they're written in the wrong syntax, and that might not be as charming sometimes. So, but you can absolutely talk with an accent to a US customer and still, you know, close them and make them happy and they won't care. And if you have a website with a lot of copy, you can just ask for help or pay a freelancer to make sure that there's nothing that's super egregious or super painful about it. All right, so that answers the accent question. The last question on this before we wrap up the episode is just the cultural question. Like, I don't know how people do business in the US. I don't know how to negotiate on pricing with Americans. I'm afraid that my culture is very different from in a US culture. How do I deal with this? How do I make sure I don't embarrass myself? People are very insecure about the cultural differences and not knowing exactly what those are or how to interpret certain things that an American customer might say. Any tips on that?
Use it to your advantage. My only tip is use it to your advantage. Explain, you know, if you have to, if they have any objections oriented around this. You know, a lot of times these are hidden objections that you're not going to get directly from them. But you use it to your advantage. Find a way to explain to them, if you need to, why where you're at is advantageous. Honestly, though, like, if your copy is on point, if your product is useful to them, they don't care. They don't really care where you're at for the majority of customers that you're looking to deal with. I mean, you gave an example of Workable. I'm not as familiar as you are with their business and everything. I've seen their brand, but they didn't need to be in this country to be successful. There's so many examples of that. Zendesk started out not in this country, and then they moved here, you know, and it's a public company now. Yeah. You know, so that's probably a really good example. There's a bunch of these examples. I mean, Atlassian didn't start here. They started in Australia. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's an English-speaking country, but they still didn't start in this country, right? And eventually they have an office here, but that was after many years. So I think there are enough examples. Another one's Campaign Monitor.
Yeah.
Right? So there's enough examples of these companies that didn't start here. And the honest truth is, like, again, this podcast is about the truth, right? And the brutal honesty. Don't make this a problem, right? Just don't make it a problem. Build your software, build your product, serve your customers. That's it.
That's it.
I love it.
That's it. Don't make problems out of things that aren't any, because you have already enough real problems to make up bullshit problems like this one. Yeah. Hey, find an example, find an inspiration, reach out to a startup that has done it successfully, entering the US market from your country, just learn from them. And I think most of this is really just a mental blockage. It's something that makes your confidence go down, makes you see closed doors and obstacles where there aren't any. You can be anywhere in the world and successfully launch into the US market, have US customers, and prosper and build a brand in the US. Many, many businesses have done it before you. Many will do after you. So might as well be one of them if you really think that the US is a great market for your product or service. So don't make problems where there aren't any. I love it. All right, that's it from us for this episode.
Later.